Wednesday, August the 6th, 2003. At this time, I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 5013, Economic and Community Development Department Budget Bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you the LFO recommendations. If I could have Daff come forward, and Pat, do you want to speak to this? All right. Before I go into my recommendations, there was some discussion and agreement reached between the governor's office and the counties with reference to the strategic reserve and the regional and rural investment funds. The budget note references that, but I would like to have the governor's office speak to this.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Welcome, Pat.
Morning or afternoon, Senator George, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pat Egan, legislative director for the for Governor Kulongoski. The issue that Robin just mentioned is how the community development fund is allocated between rural, regional, and strategic reserve. The rural, regional, the discussion that we had in the budget note that I think you've got is to take a certain portion, up to $2 million of the strategic reserve and essentially have it identified for rural development and have a commitment from the department that those dollars would be identified for rural development. And if after a certain period of time sufficient progress wasn't made, that we would just have a discussion about putting those dollars into the rural regional formula and just allocating them out that way. Part of the reason that we think this would be a good thing to do is, number one, rural development has been a priority for this governor. Number two, we think it's a safe bet because if you actually rewind the tape and look at how strategic reserve dollars have been spent over the last period of time, a substantial portion of them actually do go to rural development projects. For example, Cardinal Glass, the Dell call center in Roseburg, the recent Ontario announcement, and so we're fairly confident, we're more than confident that that's a safe bet. The recent discussion just this morning was about the base level of rural regional dollars, and in the governor's revised budget that was 7.4 and anything else.
$7.4 million. Excuse me, for the record, Cora Parker from the Department of Administrative Services. 7.9 total for community assistance. 7.4 of that approximately was directly for regional and rural, and 600,000 for other community assistance projects.
There was we had in the discussion with the co-chairs that we had the other day, we talked about this $2 million carve out or designation of the strategic reserve dollars, which we agreed to, and I believe the co-chairs did as well. The discussion this morning has been about what was the base? Was it 7.4 or was it 7.4 plus the other amount? I guess where we've come to, and I just had a discussion with Senator Harper, is we're willing to be flexible to figure that out, and the commitment to the counties is that one way or another, these are dollars that would get to the types of projects that would be funded with rural regional dollars in any case. So if the committee, I guess, has thoughts on that, we'd be willing to entertain them. Our initial recommendation is starting with the $2 million on top of the $7.4 million base. But if there's another proposal, we'd be happy to entertain it.
Is it appropriate to ask a question?
Oh, no, that's what I was looking to you if you got a question.
Thank you, Chair George. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, Representative.
Thank you. The 9.4, 7.4 plus the $2 million, what is that? Can you talk a little bit about the trend of the rural and regional investment programs? Where was the money 4 years ago? Where was it 2 years ago?
I'm going to defer. I'll give a quick answer, and then I'll let the really smart person talk. Representative Smith, Mr. Chair, the recent trend has been horrible. If at the end of the 2001 session, the rural regional dollars were approximately $20 million, $20 million and change. Through the special sessions, that continuously was ratcheted down per legislative action and ultimately the governor's signature, obviously, but that was ratcheted down to, I think the final figure was $7 million.
Yes, 7.6
million. So right in the same neighborhood. So if you look at it in that context, what we're putting out there is essentially flat funding. But in recognition of that steep drop-off, and frankly, we'll own up to the steep drop-off between the governor's balanced budget and the governor's revised budget, we actually would very much like to have some portion of the strategic reserve designated for rural development. But longer trend.
That answers my question,
okay.
Actually. Follow-up question.
Sure.
Let's go back again 4 years to where we are today. How many jobs can the department directly take credit for as a result of the rural and regional investment programs?
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, I would defer to the regions to some degree to answer the question. We've worked up some recent. Do we have the table?
Actually, I don't have the table with me for history. I have with me some numbers that have been presented to co-chairs, and I think even to this committee, actually, in public testimony with respect to expectations for 0305. And I believe that also during public testimony, we prepared, based on a question from Senator Dukes, some information about historically what we've done, both in the regional and rural areas and in the other areas that we've got funding. So I don't have those at my fingertips. I'd have to get those from the department.
We don't have a quorum. Mr. Chair.
I was just about to note that.
Okay.
Actually, if I could just add another point that I think is responsive to your question, Representative Smith. The concept on the rural regional dollars is they're formulaic. They go out directly to the regions for their expenditures. And
Pat, stand by. We're going to go into a temporary recess. Excuse me. We're describing the circumstances.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I was about to say, as young as your brain is.
Oh, it's feeling pretty old these days.
You and Greg, that place will
do it to you.
Yeah, no kidding. In response to Representative Smith's question, it really is the notion on rural regional dollars is that they are formulaic and they go out to the regions. Not that we don't have accountability or expectations for those dollars, and certainly members of the legislature do as well, but they are less... They're more attenuated than strategic reserve or the other grant dollars that come through the department. And so I guess I would say House Bill 2300 is a measure you have in front of you that's geared toward getting more, I guess, accountability and more responsive data for you all to understand why rural regional is important. But as far as direct figures, I would defer to the regional folks to answer your question better than I can.
Let's talk a little bit about leverage. One of the responsibilities of our rural and regional partners is to take the money that they've received and leverage it. Can you talk with us a little bit about what the leverage ratio looks like and how our rural and regional partners have leveraged their money thus far?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, you might be better served either having someone else from the department or one of the local government folks talk about that. I'm definitely familiar that they look for every opportunity to leverage federal and other dollars, local dollars as well.
Representative Smith, we are under very, very limited time constraints.
I think this is a stream of questions that's very important for the type of decision we're being made. This is what we're looking to do here will have a tremendous impact on rural Oregon, on the coast, southern Oregon, eastern Oregon, and I think it's very worthwhile to know how these dollars are going to be spent and what the opportunity cost is of spending them in this way, because there truly is an opportunity cost. May I just ask one or two more, and then I...
Representative Smith, we're at a work session on the budgets that are agreed to by all of the parties. I don't know what we could do right now. Do you want to go ahead anyway just to get some clarification?
Well,
let me make
a statement. I think it's very important to point out that, one, a heck of a lot of jobs have been created as a result of the rural and regional investment programs. A heck of a lot of leverage has occurred. Our county, our city, our ports, our local government folks have done a very good job leveraging these dollars and putting the dollars into local projects that make sense at the local level. And I guess where I was going with my questions was I'd like to know how the strategic reserve is going to do a better job of allocating these dollars in the counties, the cities, and the ports have done at the local level. How is it that the state of Oregon feels like they know how best to spend this money over the local folks who are locally elected?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, that's a fair question, and the reality is we're in a situation that none of us really want to be in terms of every dollar competing against $1 competing against another. But it instills a discipline and an analysis that that you don't maybe otherwise get. So I think your point is well taken. I guess we would look at it in terms of not necessarily one against the other, but one in complement with one another.
Let me just really quick, and then I'll let this go. And with all due respect,
sure.
Because I do think the world of you. With all due respect, I asked how many jobs are going to be created. You couldn't answer. I asked the leverage ratio. You couldn't answer. And now you're telling us that the strategic reserve is a better use of the money. Show me. Thank you.
Okay. Just to be responsive, and I'll give you this, and be happy to talk with you afterwards. I think the committee has done a great job. I think the co-chairs have done a great job instilling the discipline that I talked about and being responsive. Believe me, I'm the last. I do not want to be up here not being responsive to those individual questions. My deference to the regionals on this particular point was I don't want to speak for them on this because part of it is formulaic and it's responsive to their desires to have the dollars. We've taken the liberty of looking back over the last 2 years and looking at the individual financial categories that you have in the agency budget and matching them up with jobs created, some of it's anecdotal, some of it's across-the-board data, and I think it's information this committee and committees before you have been looking for a long time. So I'll hand that to you.
Thank you.
Pass it around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Senator Duke, and then Senator Carter.
I guess a comment. I'm always happy to vote for money for rural Oregon, and it's $2 million. But if you're going to divide it up amongst five regions, I mean, it strikes me that there's not a whole lot left. I actually think that the strategic reserve we created in 87 morphed into something that was decent because you could go in when there was an opportunity and there was no other money there. And I've watched it happen. I've watched them go in when a deal was almost closed and close the deal because they could put a little more money into it. I'm just thinking that if you start divvying this up and scattering it around that it's going to get lost in the process and that you're not going to actually see the money, but we'll go home feeling good, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, and this is somewhat responsive to Representative Smith's question on strategic reserve. I think it's a tool in the toolbox. Our intent with this $2 million is to spread it around to some degree, but to also provide some additional flexibility for the state when we see when there's an opportunity that the local region, even if they had a larger amount of regional dollars, wouldn't otherwise have. And so I guess we see this as a way to partner with the regions and to maximize pretty scarce dollars.
There are other strategic reserve money in the budget. How much?
Sorry?
Other strategic reserve money, how much?
Mr. Chair.
It's the total that would be in that area is no, that's good. $11.9 million.
And this two would
area.
Come from
this
that.
Two is specific to regional rural. And there's also other regional rural dollars that are going, that are in the formulaic design that you're speaking to. This actually steps outside of that formulaic and I think speaks to the responsiveness that you're talking about being able to talk about specific projects instead of just talking about even splits or formulaic splits to
okay,
regions.
That actually will make me happier. But the truth is I have never known the agency or the governor's office when you needed help in a district to say, well, you're urban or you're rural, so therefore we're not going to come listen to you. We're not going to try to help you. So we get hung up over these things at the end of a session. But as long as the money's there and you're going to spend it, I trust you.
Thanks, Senator
Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Janet, to you, I thought the negotiated amount was supposed to be 7.4 and then 2 million, which would bring it to 9.4 as opposed to 7.9.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you're correct. What there is
7.9 million in totals in that category of expenditure. I think we were looking at. Is it on here?
Yes. Actually, I don't know what you're looking at specifically, but it's $7.99 million in the community assistance area. Yep. Within that, $600,000 is for community-specific areas. And 7.4 roughly is for regional rural. So you're absolutely correct. It's 7.4 plus the 2 for regional rural specifically.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any further questions for Beth? No, thank you very much. Robin?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I will ensure that the discussion that we just had with regard to the agreement between the governor's office and the counties is reflected in the budget report.
Okay.
I will not be incorporating that specific language, but the
right.
discussion that we had, so that it's clear in the budget report what the agreement and understanding is.
Okay.
And with that, I will start walking through my memo. The first is a statement of expectation. I think there had been significant discussion about wanting to ensure that the department focuses its efforts and resources on the goals of assisting businesses and industry to create new jobs and retain existing jobs. And so there is a statement of expectation that will go in the budget report to that effect. There's a budget note which was already discussed. It requires the department to report in December of 2003 and 2004 on the actual and planned use of the strategic reserve, and incorporates the discussion and a requirement that they report on the use of the $2 million for regional, rural, and distressed communities. And what I need is a motion to approve that budget note.
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent budget note, and I move the motion to approve the budget note.
Okay. Senator Carter has moved that we approve the budget note that is on page 1, item number 2. Is there any discussion about that? Without objection? Seeing hearing none, it is approved.
To accompany that is a comment that I will expand to incorporate the discussion that we just had about the agreement and what the dollars are. If you recall, I'm moving on to item number 3. If you recall, we had quite a bit of discussion about OECD's performance measures, particularly issues such as the fact that the performance measures combine separate data elements such as the number of jobs slash created slash retained, as opposed to having separate data on those two different issues. And so I am recommending and would request a motion that OECD is directed to develop revised performance measures and to provide the revised measures to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for review and approval by no later than July 2004.
So move the motion.
Everyone's heard the motion. Of course, item number 3 on page 2, dealing with OECD budget, directing to develop revised performance measures. Is there any further discussion about that? Mm-hmm. Representative Smith.
I just want to point out that it's awful expedient that once again we're changing the direction of the ship with this department and asking for new performance measures. And I think it's positive that we try and be flexible, but this department has done a good job. And I think it's incumbent upon us to support them in doing their good job and stay the course. It's so easy to jump off track. And once again, I feel like that's the direction we're going. I think it's in the best direction of the department to stay the course with what they have done and what they have done in the past. So just a comment.
Mr. Chair, if I could clarify, I do not believe it was the expectation of this committee in the discussions that we had that there would be any change in the direction, but that the performance measures would be revised to clarify some of the points that were unclear. For example, reporting a combined job created and job retained measure when those are different activities. So the intent would be to build on what they already have.
Representative Smith, do you want me to note that as an objection, or are you okay with that?
No, I'm fine. I just wanted my thoughts to be heard. Thank you.
That's what we're here for. I'll ask the question one more time for item number three. It's a motion on the OECD budget relative to page 2, and it was for the additional performance measures. Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing hearing none, so moved.
The next section deals with policy option packages and adjustments, and after I have walked through them, I would request a motion to approve. Okay. And these are items 4, 5, and 6. First is to delete policy option package 106. If you recall from the budget hearings, the agency basically withdrew that request. approved policy option package 460 Arts Across Oregon, which is essentially a fund transfer with a net increase of other funds of $115. And approval of policy option package 461, the Ford Foundation grant, which was approved by the emergency board, and this simply carries it forward into the 0305 biennium. It's 307,000 other funds and 0.8 FTE. All of these packages were included in the governor's budget.
Robin, written here on my piece, is 207 or is it 307?
It's 207.
27, okay.
Did I say three?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, approve the following policy option packages, 4, 5, and 6 on page 2.
Okay, Senator Carter's moved we approve the policy package option 4, 5, and 6 on page 2. Is there any consideration of or discussion? Without objection. Seeing and hearing none, so approved.
The next items for which I will ask for a motion after I am done are the adjustments within the budget. Adjustment item number 7 is the elimination of the merit and COLA adjustments, which reduce the dollars as listed. Item number 8 is the elimination of inflation, which reduces the dollars as listed. Item number 6 is the reduced DAS assessment, which reduces the dollars as listed. Item 10, which is adjustment 7.
Nine.
Yeah, it was 9. Adjustment 7 is
she didn't get lunch, and it's my fault. So anything that she did.
Adjustment item number 10, adjustment 7 is the Department of Justice assessment, with the changes as listed. And item 11 is adjustment number 8, which is the agency internal refocus, which is part of how we got to the reduced budget balance. It cuts $18 million of lottery funds and 12 positions, including some vacant positions. If you recall, the department discussed this at some length during the budget hearings. And item 12 is a technical adjustment 9, which increases the lottery funds by 302,786 and increases the lottery funds carryover limitation and other funds limitation. And adjustment 13, which is LFO adjustment 10, is a technical adjustment that reflects a $35,000 reduction in new lottery funds needed because of an equivalent amount of lottery funds carryover. So those are the adjustments. If anyone, LFO adjustment 14, which is the co-chair adjustment, which cuts $856,129 general fund, that's the Arts Commission reduction, $13,072,662 lottery funds, and abolishes 2 additional FTE. And item 15 is the restoration of the lottery funds which then restores the budget to the level being recommended. I would point out that with this reduction or this restoration, the lottery fund's allocation is $21.9 million below the governor's budget. With regard to item number 14, I did want to note the co-chairs had directed the department to identify two positions to be reduced, and that one of the positions should be either the deputy or the assistant administrator position, so that there should be just one person, one deputy or assistant director. And there isn't sufficient time for the department to identify how they're going to implement that direction. There will be direction in the budget report that they will work with budget and management and the legislative fiscal office to identify the positions and the impact. And if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Senator Gibbs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had two, and I may have lost one. All of the reductions from staff for the agency, those are not all vacant positions. Am I correct?
You're correct.
The ones that have people in them, can we get some area that, I mean?
I did not attach this to the report, but I can hand it out.
I'm just wondering what to expect less of if we go forward.
I wonder if the department could speak to that, or Cora.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think Robin is handing out the position document that I sent her earlier this morning. Is that what you're handing out, Robin?
Yes.
For the record, again, Cora Parker from the Department of Administrative Services. The positions that we're showing being cut are all a part of what was presented to you in the agency refocus. So it's not a matter of losing anything from what was presented to you. It's how the agency reshifted positions internally from different areas, identified vacant positions that could go away and still achieve the outcomes that they, again, presented to you in public testimony, and in some cases shifted people from, you know, from one position to another. So these are not additional cuts except for the two that Robin just talked about. The other reductions are exactly what was presented to you in public testimony and are completely in balance with their internal agency refocus.
My other question, Mr. Chair, was on the Arts Commission. In the whole big scheme of things, there is some other money being folded into the Arts Commission. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we hope so.
Okay.
At this point in time, I don't know what those numbers are. That's why you don't see any kind of budget adjustment. There is a bill out there that transfers the Cultural Trust Fund to the Arts Commission. We are still trying to work out those numbers, so we'll probably deal with that in that bill.
Okay, I'm just holding out for some ray of hope here. There's not really much of an arts program left if this is it.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I move that items 7 through 16 be approved. 16 is not in here.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay.
Okay.
So then I move items 7 through 15.
The budget adjustments.
Thank you.
Now let's see if I can get through it now. Senator Carter has moved that the budget adjustments on page 2 and 3, items 7 through 15, be approved by the committee. Is there any further discussion or question?
I still have a question.
Oh, certainly.
Thank you, Chair George. In the last biennium, we approved a tremendous amount of bonding dollars to finance infrastructure projects, and now I see one of the positions being eliminated as a business finance officer. I guess I'm curious, Robin, is that going to impact the department's ability to get their dollars out in a timely manner?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, a large percentage of the bond authorization has already occurred. There's a small piece remaining, but the bulge was in 0103. So the answer to your question is no, it shouldn't.
And I had two appropriate heads out in the audience and shaking their head that no, it would have no impact. All right, the question is then, that we would approve the budget adjustments, items 7 through 15 on pages 2 and 3 without objection. Seeing and hearing none.
Mr. Chair, if I could have a motion to approve the agency budget, and I don't know that I need to read the numbers.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right.
I move that we approve the agency budget of 124 positions, 122.46 FTE, along with $1.2 million general fund, $77,988,965 lottery funds, $5,489,688 lottery funds, carryover, $32,352,695 other funds, $36,982,588 general federal funds, $197,030,302 non-limited other funds.
With that, I think we have the volunteer that's going to carry this full weight. You've heard the motion. I'm not repeating it. Are there any objections to the approval of the agency budget? Seeing and hearing none, so approved.
The next motion, and really I don't think we need to read this, is to move to amend the bill with the numbers as listed, including the adjustments to sections 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So moved.
So moved. We'll go with so moved. That's on page 3, item 17, the motion to amend the House Bill 5013 as described. Without objection? Seeing and hearing none.
And, Mr. Chair, the final motion is to move House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
move House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Carter has moved House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Item 18, page 3. Any question or further comments? Okay. So moved. Without objection. We better get that in there.
Okay, and I need carriers.
Well, you have a volunteer already, I think.
I think I do. And I need a house carrier.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Be sure to do a call of that.
Oh, we won't need a call of that. Bipartisan all the way through.
Okay,
go. All right, you're ready.
Actually, the next person up is Adrian, who is going to do Senate Bill 467.
I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5013, the Economic Community Development Department budget. And with half the gavel, we'll be in a work session on Senate Bill 467A related to economic development.
Mr. Chair, while I'm passing materials out to the members, and I've got some copies for the public, and I apologize, I don't have as many as I see heads in the audience.
This is amazing.
This has been also posted as a public hearing, and I believe this is the first time that this is before this subcommittee.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure that there's a
folks out there. So we're going to reopen this then as a public hearing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It says work session.
Well, the posted agenda. So
oh, posted, yeah, it says. All right.
Don't people go on vacation in August?
Yeah, that's what got
it. Real people do.
I love John Dennis.
Barring any further comments, then I'm going to open up Senate Bill 467A as a public hearing followed by a potential work session.
No the governor's office is represented as well as some of the agencies. Chris Warner from Community Solutions. Oh, it's okay.
Okay, we'll get to the end of the last one.
Yeah.
Like this, right?
And there, yes.
All right.
And if I might just describe what I've just handed
yes.
out to you.
So. Okay, right.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I'm going to ask all these guys who are sitting here if they want Senator Carter's vote. It needs to be a long time. We understand industrial land.
We do understand that, and we are short on time. We need to have a description, though, at this point.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much, and members of the subcommittee. I just wanted to briefly apprise you of what I have handed to you, because the folks at the witness table will go into the detail of what the bill does. The bill is before you as an engrossed measure that came from the Senate Transportation and Economic Development Committee. I've provided to you a copy of the staff measure summary that was prepared by that committee staff. Also in your packet is an amendment. It's the dash A11. It's substitute language for the A engrossed bill, and I have in there parenthetically corrected, because that is the official characterization in the record of the bill as it is in your possession. It's essentially the same content as the A engrossed bill, with a change in the name of the entity that's created and some other massaging of language, but no significant change as to the nature of the measure. I also have in front of you a dash A8 amendment, which is would provide authority for allocation of revenue from lottery receipts to the entity that's created in the governor's office. The governor's budget assumes lottery funds for that purpose. The allocation would actually occur in the lottery allocation bill, which is House Bill 5036. If you were to decide to move forward with those amendments, then I've got some points here that would need to be incorporated in that. I also have available, if you would like, for your reading pleasure at some other leisure time, basically an agency-by-agency assessment of what the bill would ask them to do and what their reported costs are. Into that.
You have probably determined who's going to go first, so we'll let you do that.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler here on behalf of Senate Bill 467. With me is Mr. Tom Gallagher, Mr. Chris Warner from the governor's office. I understand you're very short of time. We can give you as much or as little information on this bill as you'd like. We can walk you through it. We can respond to questions.
I'd say keep going, since we don't have a quorum on the Senate side anymore. But no. Rep. Sandra Smith already has a question.
Thank you.
And all you've done is introduce yourself, so be careful.
Yeah.
I got my ID.
On page two, there's two issues. One, on item D, line number A, it talks about served by necessary public facilities and infrastructure, including transportation facilities, da-da-da-da-da. How do you respond to this in the more remote parts of the state of Oregon that are just as in need of economic development, saying that only those facilities that can be provided within a reasonable period of time? What would you say to, Fossil Oregon?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the short answer to your question is that's what the second half of the bill about with the economic development plan. The first, the more specific answer to what you're saying is what we've done here is we have not gone out and identified any sites. We've just identified criteria. There are a number of sites in rural and eastern Oregon that will have the necessary transportation, places where there are industrial parks, where there are other infrastructure elements in place. But the key here is with the limited amount of money that's going to be available in this bill, even with the coordination of economic development and the governor's office of economic revitalization, they have to pick those sites that are closest to being ready for the first 25 and then use the second half of the bill to move forward. The last thing I would say is, if you remember the Department of Transportation plan, it has $100 million in it that is available for use on industrial sites, whether or not they make the 25 list. So there is the ability to go after transportation infrastructure money even if you're not on the 25 site list.
I was in a task force, Representative Smith, that was dealing with the whole issue of industrial land. Rural Oregon doesn't have the problem in terms of industrial land. We find more of that in urban communities than anywhere. We almost run out of space, and we basically bought on encroachment. but the whole while I was on that committee, I didn't hear them talk about the problem in, say, Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon, and those kind of places.
It's my background's in the port industry. It's huge in Eastern Oregon, if for no other reason than zoning requirements, land use laws.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're not without land. You have land. It's just a matter of zoning.
Mr. Chairman, just by way of a member of the committee, just to deal briefly on the bill, these are the exact kind of questions that we're hoping we'll get to as part of this process. This came out of a work group that this legislature funded last session with House Bill 3557 to go out and look at commercial industrial land supply. We found during that process two big truths about Oregon's land use and economic development system and the interface thereof. One is that in most jurisdictions in the state, we had a 20-year supply of industrial land and commercial land. What we didn't have was a 2-week supply. We didn't have anything ready to roll right now. We had stuff that was ready to go at some point, but not now. And the second thing we found was that that we did not have a strategy in this state for how to advance Oregon's economy, given where we sit geographically, economically, demographically. What this bill is attempting to do, and I'd like to, and I know you're short of time, Mr. Chairman, but I'd like to recognize the very good work that a lot of people did on this. I've been in this game a long time. This is an excellent work group that put together this bill. We had the governor's office, we had state agencies, we had the cities, the counties, DEQ, ODOT, DLCD, Economic Development Department, 1,000 Friends of Oregon, I miss Metro, I'm sure I'm missing some. They all understood the need facing the state to get people back to work. That's why they also understand the need to do business differently in this state, local government, state government, to get people working, to get sites online, to get the infrastructure in the places that we needed it. The reasons we found out we don't have, and this goes to both of your questions, if I may, why we didn't have sites ready to go was either they were wet or brownfield or had other environmental constraints, or they weren't zoned right. They were zoned for industries. The coast is a perfect example. All the industrial land there, a lot of it's zoned for industries that are now in Indonesia and ain't coming back anytime soon. Or they didn't have infrastructure. They didn't have water, sewer, roads. Well, those are all fixable problems, and we simply need to focus on it. What this bill does, two big pieces. The first section of the bill deals with the 25 sites and tells the governor's office and the economic revitalization team and economic development department to go off and find 25 sites, quick like bunnies, that can be brought online as fast as we can. The second part of the bill talks about a long-range strategy for the state. How do we, as a state of Oregon, how do our component communities, be they urban or rural, participate in the economy, get our people back to work? It's a good bill. I'm excited about it. I think it has a lot of potential to do some very good things for the state. We are again, had a very good team working on it. It was a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations. Not a lot of controversy, but a lot of good thinking. There.
Good.
Good bill should pass.
Good should pass. Get to it.
Yes, it is.
Question.
Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you. Back again on page 2, item 3, talks about putting a team together of 8 members, and I applaud the fact of having county and city representatives. Why was there no representation from the port industry?
Representative Smith, are you in Dash 11?
No, I was on what was handed to me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Dash 11.
Yeah, thank you. Page 2.
Number 3. Yeah, line 16.
I'm just
curious why the ports, who traditionally are land development leaders in the state of Oregon, were not included as part of the 8-member team.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the flat-out honest answer is that we didn't want to put anybody in by name. We wanted to get the... You know, we wanted to leave it open for the 8 most valuable people. There would be some people that did both port and private. And you get key people. The cities and counties thought it was very important because of the local government connection to have the local government in. I would imagine that there will be somebody who has a great deal of port connection among those 8. So it isn't a question of naming the areas which the 8 come from. It's really a question of finding the 8 right people.
Any further questions? I step outside. Did all 3 of you present it?
Senator George, members of the committee, Chris Warner, I am the director of the
currently the Community Solutions Office. And I just wanted to commend all the members of the work group. It was a long process, and also thank Senator Metzger and Senator Starr and the Transportation and Economic Development Committee because of their hard work on this. And we do support the bill in the Governor's Office.
Now, all three of you, are you okay with 11 and 18? And, excuse me, 11 and dash 8?
I'm not seeing
it. Oh, okay.
There were some out there.
Senator George, members of the committee, we've never seen, none of the members of the work group have seen dash 8 before. I'm not exactly even sure what it does.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it does.
Mr. Chief,
your
money, you want some?
Yeah, one.
Give us money if we want some.
Yes.
Good idea, Representative Carter, Senator Carter.
Mr. Chair and subcommittee members, yes, in brief, the Dash A8 amendments provide the mechanism, the authority to use lottery funds to fund the Governor's Community Solutions Office. The A8 amendments referred to Community Solutions Office. If you were to go forward with these, they would need to be modified to comport with the naming convention that's contained in the A11. These were an earlier version.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Move the dash 11. Dash 8.
You move dash 8 and 11?
Mm-hmm.
Whoops, we have hands going up. Yes, and we're
not in a work session.
Yes, we're not in a work session yet. We're in a public hearing. I reopened the public hearing.
Any other questions for us?
Yes, thank you. We're done. And we have some people very anxious to testify. Come on up here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Gordon Fultz with the Association of Oregon Counties. We had heard rumor of this amendment back a month or two ago.
Which one?
Decade.
Okay.
While we don't have trouble with the merits of the bill, we had real heartburn over the dash 8. And let me just explain that. We did testify in another subcommittee where at one time this was being considered, opposed to this amendment. Basically, the video lottery receipts that are referred to here are video lottery receipts the counties have received since 1991 when video lottery was established. Prior to that time, counties had the responsibility of regulating video lottery. In fact, we were asked to give that regulation up in exchange for a percentage of those funds. And the percentage was 2.5%, which is currently given to counties and dedicated to economic development. What these amendments seem to do is take that 2.5% and say, all right, you're going to get 90% of what you used to get in order to fund the community solutions. We polled our members because we had heard that rumor as to whether or not there was any interest in that, and it was resoundingly no. We do not want to give up what we consider to be a shared revenue in exchange, given to us in exchange for our regulatory authority at the time for this. We would hope that there's another way to fund the what was the Community Solutions or now the Economic Revitalization Team, but certainly not from these funds.
Chair George, members of the committee, my name is Art Slack with the Association of Oregon Counties, and I was a member of the work group that met weeks, months to develop 467, basically in the form that you have here. While we support 467 and the concepts in 467, our organization has taken a position to oppose 467 until the funding for the community revitalization team is identified, and at such time as it does not impact local government or counties at this point. And as Gordon indicated, there were two rumors in terms of the possible funding for community solutions / economic revitalization. One was from video lottery. The other source that was being discussed, at least at one time, was from rural regional at this point, which you just had some discussion about that. But again, we are very concerned, and we would urge you not to pass 467 until it's very clear what the funding for the economic revitalization team is. Thank you.
that is what we're attempting to do at this very moment. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Member John Chandler again, just wanted to make it clear for my colleagues from the county government that we didn't know if these amendments were coming. We'd heard the same rumors. Our work group discussed the substance. It did not discuss funding. We're obviously not ignorant of the funding issues for all the agencies involved as well as for the Economic Revitalization Office. We can't speak to the Dash 8, so what Mr. Gallagher stated earlier, we do believe this bill needs to go. I believe the counties have indicated that. I understand their reluctance to front the cost of part of it.
I would like to have that. We're waiting for some interpretation coming from co-chairs. I'd like to hear from this committee right now relative to Dash 8. Representative Smith.
Chair George. I think the concept, the overall concept of the bill is very positive, but I think there's work that still needs to be done, and I would hope, Mr. Chair, you would let a couple of us committee members work with a couple of these folks to try and iron out some of this stuff and try and make a neutral bill even a little better because I have tremendous trepidation over several of these points in here, but I would like to try and work with folks to get this to a point where it can pass.
Representative Krieger, then Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair, I could echo Representative Smith's comments, and I don't know. When were we notified as committee members about this bill even being here? Did I miss something somehow?
Mr. Chair, it was scheduled. The posting was yesterday. We had an internal staff meeting this morning to reconcile the fiscal impact issues around the information that we had received from agencies as to which ones might require additional funding in order to implement the provisions. And that meeting was at 10 this morning, and we concluded that the Department of Land Conservation and Development would require additional resources, hence a recommendation that there be an additional general fund appropriation.
This would be the first time that the Dash 8s would have been...
Correct.
Well, I definitely don't want to move forward on the bill until we've had some time to understand what this means.
Representative Hanson.
Well, I can support the Dash 11s with no reservations. The Dash 8 create a great deal of discomfort. Mm-hmm. That's a traditional local government source, and I think it deserves significantly more discussion.
Well, and obviously you know me very well. I have a lot of heartburn about what's been happening with some of our local partners, and
I think we need to fund them. We need to do it. We need to fund it, but I don't think this is the way to do it.
Senator Morris.
Chairman, I apologize for having to step out to testify on the bill, but was the amount of the money that we're talking about here in Dash 8 identified?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, no, it has not been. That would occur in the lottery fund allocation measure. The provision of the Dash 8 simply refers to an amount established by law, and that's the section of law that would be adopted that would cause the transfer of that amount to the governor's office.
Follow-up, yes.
Do you have any kind of a feel for what that might be, 2.5%, what that number represents?
Mr. Chair and Senator Morris, yes, I did ask. Budget and Management Office did run a calculation, and this is based on the May forecast of county video poker distribution funds. It would be reduced by $1.8 million, which, as it's reflected here, it's technically a 7.1% reduction in funds available going to the county.
Cora
wants to interpret her statement for me.
Can I ask you to, Mr. Chairman, can I ask you to step out? Cora, come on in.
To restate.
My apologies to Adrian and to the committee. Again, for the record, Cora Parker from the Budget Management Department. Actually, I see the governor's office staff who may be able to speak to this better. So rather than my stepping in and muddying up the waters, I'll,
Senator Carter is
I'll let Dallas step forward.
You are now Senator Carter, but I will not allow you to vote.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Dallas Wine with Legislative Fiscal. The amount of about $1.7 million was provided in the governor's office budget. Lottery fund monies for the Community Solutions Team. So that is the amount that is in draft legislation form at this moment for that.
It's 1.3, I think, and then the other is the other funds.
Oh, I'm sorry. Stand corrected. Yeah, 1.3.
1.3 with other funds.
That's right.
The impact, though, on the counties will, in fact...
The 1.3.
Well, it will be the 1.3 and a
yes,
negative
sir.
Number.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And Senator George, members of the committee, at the 1.8 million level, I believe that was a 7.1% reduction of the amount that they otherwise would have been receiving under their 2.5% allocation. So this probably moves that down to, I'm guessing, about a 5% reduction or so
in
what they otherwise would have received under the direct video distribution.
And Cora, for the record, that amount that you had indicated to me was 25,000.
25 million.
25,000,036.
Correct. And that was based on the May forecast. So obviously, as the forecast goes up or down, the percentage will change because the base will change.
Representative Hanson.
Okay. Yeah. I'm certainly not close to any of the negotiations and discussions that have went on this, but I'm thinking in terms of theory and practice. In our other negotiations that are going on a get out of the building plan, there's a lot of discussion about expansion of lottery functions and expansion of lottery revenue based on either online games, discussions on the commission adding additional machines. Probably, if those things occur, there's going to be an increase in the 2.5% that would probably offset this. On the other hand, there's a great deal of also money that would be developed through those expansion of lottery for economic development. And I think that would be the appropriate place for us to be looking for funding for this is through the PARS lottery revenue that was already earmarked for economic development. This is clearly an economic thing, but economic development function, I would think we'd fund it through whatever increases occur with the lottery, but not out of the county's 2.5% that was originally earmarked for local government to deal with any problems that might occur from the enhancement of the lottery, and for giving up revenue that they would get that they were getting for licensing the old video poker that had occurred in a lot of communities. So I think this is something that should be eminently fundable. I just think sooner or later it's going to get funded out of lottery revenue. It's just what chunk, and I'd really object to it coming out of the historic 2.5% for local government at a time that we're probably going to create a lot more lottery revenue that's going to be earmarked for economic development.
Chair, yes. Representative Hanson, if I could just clarify that for a moment. We are a little concerned. When we made the deal, if you will, in 91, it was video lottery. At that time, the only kind of game that was around was video poker. But my understanding of what might be added at some point is what they call line games, which is a different kind of a game, but it's a video machine.
Gordon, can we get you to re-identify yourself?
I'm sorry, correctly? Gordon Fultz, Association of Oregon Counties. But our understanding is that each lounge or bar would still have five machines. They would just have a chip in it that instead of playing video poker, it now plays whatever the new game is. In that instance, if counties and their 2.5% were restricted to just video poker, we would reduce our revenues at the expense of basically for the state to get other revenues. So our position has always been, and we thought it was at the very beginning, whatever form is played on those video machines is the 2.5% should come to the counties because we were regulating all forms of that at the time. There is other lottery revenue, of course, that comes besides video poker or video, line games. I mean, there's other lottery, the tickets and all of those other things that might be considered. So our position, Representative Hansen, is that anything that's played on the video machine, that 2.5% of that is what we should be entitled to given the agreement we had in 1991.
Representative Krieger.
And if you don't have the right to that 2.5% of the new games, then you have the right to play those games, start those games.
If you go back in the agreement, then we can we can go ahead.
That's
and
not part of the agreement. Then you're back in business.
Initiate our own agreement.
All right, just keep that in mind.
Well, if you give us our authority back, then
I'd be worth more money to you.
We have a discussion that's occurring here that is not on the record, but I will ask a question. That is, what if Dash 8s are not passed? What will happen relative to Dash 11s getting moved? The bill goes forward. It's going to wait then for the lottery revenue to increase in order to begin the process?
Mr. Chair, I don't think I can answer that question at this time.
Mr. Chair, Art Slack with the association. When we, on our association, had this discussion, and we were looking at the options at this point, one of the fundamental questions our organization asked was, if the money comes from local government, what we're doing is we're taking capacity, because the money that the 2.5% that now comes to counties is for economic development kinds of activity. It's capacity at the local level at the expense of providing capacity at the state level, the community solutions teams, a la the economic revitalization team at this point. Our county officials at this point believe that local capacity is essential, and therefore, Mr. Chair, we would have to put on the record that we oppose 467 again until such time as we are. It's very clear as to where the funding for the state capacity is going to come, and it should not come at the expense of the capacity at cities and counties.
You support the bill. You just want to be held harmless.
Yes, sir.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as we want to believe that we're at the end of the session, and as it appears from negotiations that the last pennies are being spent sort of as we speak, if it's this or nothing, if 467 were not to pass, that is better. I mean, then you have don't have, assuming we don't have community solution teams and we don't have the group, excuse me, for industrial lands, is that better than this particular funding source?
Chair, Senator Dukes, if 467 does not pass, I would suggest that those functions or those activities that are identified in terms of identifying the 25 sites and the coordination between local government and state agencies can still occur through a executive order by the governor of the state of Oregon.
With no funding?
We'll find a way.
Okay, and the community solutions teams?
Probably go away.
Okay. And that's what, I mean, I just want to be clear here, because as somebody who keeps going out and tries to find money for projects and things that I think are good, I think the well's just about dry, so that's why I'm checking. Now, maybe there's another rabbit to be pulled out of the hat someplace. Maybe money can be shuffled, but I just wanted to be sure where you were, just in case.
Representative Smith and then Senator Morris.
Thank you, Chair George. I guess I don't see this as an all or nothing. I think we're still going to be in this building for a few more days, and I think there's a real opportunity to take this bill and work on it and make it a little more compatible to all the parties. And so I'd hope, Chair George, that would be something you'd consider allowing several members from this committee and the counties and the cities and the folks who have brought this forward to work on trying to make this bill more palatable to everyone, because I think the mission is very valuable. I just think it needs to be tweaked.
Yeah, the co-chairs have asked us to move this, but I see now we have a dash 12.
Mr. Chair, yes, for the record, I had on my memo to you indicated that item five was that we would need a conceptual amendment to provide general fund money to the Department of Land Conservation and Development to implement the provisions of Senate Bill 467. I had requested that amendment this morning, and I now have the final draft for the proposed amendment from Legislative Council in LC form. Which does that?
Very good. Senator Metzger, did you wish to speak to this bill? Or?
Well, not on the issue that you're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
The bill, yes.
Okay. I kept looking to you, and I... Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the dilemma that it presents for county to do some funding. But I guess my question is, if Senate Bill 467 is, in fact, a very good piece of legislation, and it has the opportunity to leverage $1.3 million over 2 years into the future many, many times, it seems to me that there are beneficiaries that the counties would certainly be at the top of that list to get our economy going and get out of this problem that we're in. So I guess for me on this issue is that how good is 467? Is it going to produce jobs? Is it going to bring industry into the state, employment, and generate those revenues for counties and cities and in the state?
Okay. Would you like to answer?
I would like to answer, Mr. Chair. Senator Morse, for the record, Gordon Foltz, Association of Working Counties. And we appreciate that particular discussion and the point that this is a good bill. We're not trying to basically sabotage the bill. Our only interest here, we had an agreement historically, as we've had an agreement with the liquor receipts we receive, with the tobacco revenues we receive, that predates this particular issue and a lot of other issues that have come before, that says in exchange for here's what you have. There's been lots of potential good issues that we could have funded with all kinds of resources that we have not, because we've basically tried to keep those as part of the agreement that was originally reached. We would be very happy to sit down and look at other alternatives to try and fund it. To fund a good piece of legislation, but that's one that's sort of sacred to the counties because of the history that's involved in that particular issue. But we would be willing to sit down and figure out other alternatives, if there are any, to take a look at the funding for it. We do have people that support the Community Solutions Team and the Economic Revitalization Team, and we have even toyed with the idea of having some of our optional monies supporting those. In fact, we put a proposal forth just during the interim when they were cut back in the special sessions to see if voluntarily regions wanted to come up with funds for that particular part. And we could still do that piece of it. We could still do the voluntary assessments on the bill itself. But so there's a couple of different ways we can look at it. But historically, on that video lottery piece, we have held that and the other kinds of shared revenues sacred among counties because of the authority we did give up for that.
Okay. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Senator Bester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. I'll keep my remarks short, but as I mentioned from back in the barnyard there, in terms of speaking to the issue of how you want to fund it, that's your job. I'm not going to comment on that. And I think the co-chairs have put together a funding mechanism based on a bigger picture, which you guys are all aware of more so than I. But I want to talk about just briefly about 467 and why that is critical. This came out of our Senate Economic and Transportation Committee. Worked on this for a number of months. Mr. Gallagher, Mr. Chandler, and the others who have been mentioned have worked very, very hard on this, because it is critical as part of our overall economic package, is to identify these industrial sites and go from theoretical job availability to where a business can come to Oregon and make that investment and make it very, very quickly. So it's a key part of everything that we're trying to do in this session. And I think you've already discussed, you know, how these things are interwoven with the transportation budget, which is $100 million, which will be going to projects for local communities where they want to have industrial sites, whether it's Gresham or the Dalles or somewhere else, you know, that is tied to go to these local communities to build their economic base. So that is a critical part of it, and being able to move quickly with our local partners. And I say I can't tell you why, you know, the co-chairs do what they do in terms of making the budget fit, but what things that's very critical about 467, and Senator Morris, I think you touched upon this in your question, is that these industrial sites, of course, benefit from the state of Oregon, but they're going to they're going to be all around Oregon. They're going to benefit those local communities by providing the horsepower for them to generate revenue and jobs in their own communities. So the tie-in of that is extremely critical. And Representative Smith, I just wanted to make a comment. I think your point is right on in terms of about, you know, where these industrial sites are going to be and who's going to have the opportunity, and they will be around the state. But again, 467 is part of a packet of trying to address all statewide needs. Tomorrow on the floor, the Senate will have House Bill 2614, which is the House Bill 2689 redo, which is industrial land for rural Oregon. Only. And so if you put these packages together, the mill bill, the rural Oregon bill that will be passed through the Senate and back to concurrence in 467 is trying to address jobs and opportunities in communities throughout the state. So the only comment I would make on just kind of how the funding goes, you know, again, that's your decision on that. But these are all designed to build the economic base of local communities. So I think it is a critical piece. And, you know, whatever your decision is on funding, I would suggest, you know, really working very quickly on identifying that, because it is a critical part of making all of this work. And again, thank to all the people that have worked very, very diligently to help, you know, job growth in Oregon. And this is the centerpiece of it, and the people that were before you today have worked very, very diligently in making that happen. So, but it is critical. We need to get people to work throughout the state, and this is a real linchpin for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Messer. I think this committee unanimously agrees with you relative to, you know, the need for 467 and all the whole package that's going forward. And because we are behind the curve, obviously, we continue to maintain number one in unemployment. But we do seem to have a problem here relative to taking it away from our partners, and we're waiting right now, just to be honest and upfront with everyone, for Senator Dukes to return and enlighten us as to how we should proceed.
Having been on Ways and Means, Mr. Chair, serving with you, as you recall,
right.
You know, there is that voice in the Emerald City, and someone's behind the curtain making those decisions. So, thank you.
Okay. Was there any questions for Senator Messer? Okay. Thank you very much.
Announce that we will reschedule bowling at some later date when the decisions have been made.
All right. We have an announcement to make, and we had run out of time, and we're there, and that is Senate Bill 5526, Bureau of Labor and Industries budget bill will be rescheduled. Sorry about that.
One or two co-chairs are on their way down.
Oh, okay.
For this particular 467.
All right.
I just got off the phone with one, and I think he's going to run with the other one.
All right, so we'll stand at ease. Is there any... Did you hear? Oh, I think that should be subject to public record. That's that the co-chairs want the link moved out with dash 8s, so they're bringing down the necessary votes to do that.
Well, I don't know how many votes you got, so I don't know
well,
whether it's necessary.
Are there any House votes in favor of this? I mean, that's kind of, is it appropriate to do that? Maybe we should. Maybe we should recess.
It might expedite.
Are there any eyes votes for dash 8? All right, you guys want to go talk? We will be in recess for 3 minutes. On 467, with a tap the gavel, we'll be adjourned.